What's up, what's up? This is your boy, Follow the Leader, and I got some quick bits about the Eagles and the Sixers. We're going to get to it. Some Philadelphia radio. Basically, let's just talk about this, man. Let's talk about a couple of things I want to talk about from Penn State to Philly. I'm just all in the, you know, just follow the podcast. Going in. I ain't going in a minute, but there's so much in PA to be proud of. One, Joe Girardi is the manager. That's big. Nobody knows how big that is. Joe Girardi. We all know his resume. We know the resume of Charlie Manuel before he came to the Phillies. And look what happened. So everybody should be excited about this. Stop saying that the players on the field, coaches don't make no difference. If that's so, they wouldn't pay millions of dollars to coaches. They wouldn't hire these coaches. These coaches wouldn't have a resume of winning World Series championships. I mean, so we have to really, really be smart about what we say. There's no such thing as coaches don't matter because the game is 90% mental. And so if a coach can get these guys to play together, you know, you prep them up, get them in batting practice, tell them how to play, motivate players. I don't care how grown they are. Everybody has mental situations from when you're young to old. How you deal with things. If everybody could deal with the same thing, this world would be perfect. So you need coaches to get you assembled. It's an organized sport. And Joe Girardi, I'm just happy, excited. Brian Price, as the pitching coach is big. I just think it's a big situation. I think Philly's had good players, good pitchers, good hitters this year. Just need the right coaching. I mean, seriously. I mean, guys like Vince Velasquez and Jake Arrieta and Aaron Nola. Everybody had slumps, even Nola. Everybody had good games. You had Zach Eflin. All of a sudden, the Phillies was good in the first beginning of the season. Then what happened? That has to be coaching. There's no other, because if you just let them play, it's what they did in the beginning of the season. And then, you know, there was things about Segura not playing hard enough. And some people had questions about Harper, who had a good season. The pitching started to break off. The pitching was better in the first half of the season. The second half, it broke down. You just need better people around you. This pitching is not, you're going out there getting guys like Arrieta. These guys have won. Arrieta has won a Cy Young. You know what I'm saying? I don't really think there's nothing else you can say about this boy. There's nothing else you can say about it. Arrieta has won Cy Youngs. You know, Vince Velasquez has showed you what he can do. Effing has showed you what he can do. Nola, we know what he can do. So what's the problem with these four guys all of a sudden being consistent? They show you one thing, another thing is different. So all in all, I feel like it's nothing but pitching. The bullpen has so many good, talented players on there. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, they're not. And they're good with one team. You know, Neshek not going to pick up their option. It's a lot of money. Pat Neshek. But all these guys on this team, this is a talented team. So we're going to see better progress, I guarantee it. If it doesn't happen, I said it this year. I'm going to say it again. You just got to go with what's on paper and thinking that the coach we had could do good with this talent. I didn't think Kapler couldn't get this talent to this best level. I thought with all these guys on paper, it looked good. Now you get Girardi. I'm saying it again. Going to be a different change with Girardi on this. A different coach. So after that, if nothing goes down with Girardi there, then I'm like, oh, my hands is up. All right? But Girardi's a bad boy, and he knows how to coach. So it's no doubt. I feel like it's a good bringing back Harper, Segura, having Ramuto, and you know Hoskins. There's no Hasley and Kingery all showing the young progress. So there's no doubt in my mind. I feel like this is it. This is it. No question that this is a good complete team. He's a good manager. Kapler's a young guy. I think he should be an assistant, or maybe with some team that doesn't have the expectations the Phillies had. Because when Francona left this team, you know, Francona all of a sudden did good with Boston. But he just couldn't do good with the Phillies. But Manuel could. It's just what it is. So now we go to the Eagles. And now Jackson's going to be back against the Bears. This starts at 4. How good is this? Nobody's looking at that. At 4-4. You're looking at a squad that can make things happen now at 4-4. Very good record to have Jackson back. People were saying all this and that about the. Listen, I didn't expect the injuries to ring up like this. I expected everybody to be in tow. Jeffrey was hurt at the first, so it kind of messes up the chemistry of things. Jeffrey's not even hurt. I mean, he's dropping passes, but he's also been impacted. But who on the other side of Jeffrey has been impacted? Zach, nobody's talking about how Zach Ertz ain't doing nothing this year. You got Goedert. There are a lot of people slumping. It's not Carson Wentz. I don't want to hit a Carson Wentz thing when he's throwing passes in people's hands and they missed it. Like, he's played good. People just have to catch the ball. And I think that's going to really happen with a guy. One thing about the Eagles, when they won the Super Bowl, they had two things. They had a lot of things. Let's go down the line. They had the best offensive line in the league. It developed to that. Everybody found out at the end of the season, this is the best offensive line in football. They had two running backs. They got that. They got their offensive line. I know that Peters is out. The offensive line been playing good enough. It really has. The offensive line's been playing good. They haven't been playing bad at all. The defensive line, we know what they do. They was a terror. The linebackers were set. When Hicks went out, it was Bradham and Kendrick. Now so much of a shuffle. People been cut. Brown been cut. Fort been cut. A trade for a guy, they bring in another guy. It's been crazy. So I just think, realistically, when you look at this squad and you look at how they play, I feel like Jackson is the big key, because when they also won the Super Bowl, Torrey Smith, they had a guy that could take the top off your defense. No matter what you say about Torrey Smith, he definitely played his role. Remember the Minnesota game. So, matter of fact, the second half of the season, he turned into a super weapon. So, with Jackson back, who was 10 times better than Torrey Smith, you saw what happened the first game. We was down against the Redskins. And the Eagles, all of a sudden, bow, back with Jackson. There's nobody to bring him back quick. You need that impact. Jeffries has never been that guy. He's a guy, possession receiver, 10 yards here, 11 yards here. He isn't a top burner. He's a big guy. You give him the ball. You put Jackson with Jeffrey, and then it makes Aguilar better. Aguilar is good at the slot, but he's not a top off your defense type of guy. You got to get him just like Jeffries. He's quick, great in routes. He can make those turn your top off your defense plays, but it has to be other guys contributing. Zach Ertz and Jeffrey were both consistent. Especially, I think Zach Ertz is the big thing, because Zach Ertz saves you. Zach Ertz saves you. No matter what Jeffrey's doing, if Zach Ertz is playing consistent, then you can see Aguilar get more open. But there's also been times Aguilar this season, you know, has this effort. That one play, that effort, that was crazy against Dallas. Like, that could have changed the whole game. The game against Minnesota could have changed the whole game. It was two games. Aguilar could have changed the whole game. So, what do? You go out and get this guy Avery. They're looking for the defense to get more stout. Because if you look at it, they've been getting beat. That's two 30-point games. 30-plus point game. One against Minnesota with 30-plus. And then against Dow 30. You need your defense to be more stout at the linebacker position. Now you got guys like Jerry, who had a good game last game. A sack, some six tackles. You're looking at guys like Alex Singleton. They're bringing in. TJ Edwards is here now. The guys that they saw in training camp that was good, they're giving them a chance. They feel like, hey, we got Zach Brown in four, but these guys are just as good or even better. So let's put them in. KGH is back. I think they have more athletic linebackers. It's not the experience. And that's the only scary part of that. It's some real talented. Avery's a talented guy. He can rush the pass. He can drop down to the end. He can a linebacker. He can do that. He's a hybrid like that. Look at Alex Singleton. Look at my boy. What's his name? Nigel Bradham comes in. Nigel Bradham comes back. That really does a lot. And he still is going to come back. He's not out for the season. So this is a scary team once everybody. Jackson's just coming back. It's going to really. Your playbook got to get a little bit more. Now you got to look at the defensive playbook like, yo, we got to cover this guy. Because once he start catching passes, it opens up Jeffries in so many different ways. Nobody's even thinking. They don't want Jackson to hurt him more. They want Jeffrey to hurt him more than Jackson. That's when Jeffrey will pick you apart. They double-team Jeffrey. They know that one-on-one, you can't always leave him one-on-one. There'll be times where you let it happen, but you can't leave him one-on-one. Once he catches a pass on the cornerback, a couple big passes, here they go bringing the safety up and all this to open that up. Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert have to be targets, and they have to catch the ball. They have to catch the ball. Zach Ertz not catching these passes and not catching the ball is a big key. They need Zach Ertz to be that machine he was last year. Because if he was right now early in the season, this would be a different record. There's no way Dallas would have beat the Eagles. But at the same time, the defense has to be. And the cornerbacks, we know what they've done. We know already what the cornerbacks have done. But it has no substitute on us just having 10 points against Dallas. You know, when Nelson Aguilar missed that pass, that's not on the defense. The turnovers on the offense. It's just been a little up and down, but soon, look, it's eight games. These eight games coming up, I think, will be totally different. With Jax, I think the whole team learning to play together. You've seen flashes of Sidney Jones. You've seen flashes of all of them. Douglas, now Maddox is going to come back. It's a lot of people that have to come back to make this team. That's why Philly didn't make that great haul for a cornerback. Why y'all think they didn't? Because they're confident in their cornerbacks. They're having bad seasons. They're young. All these guys are young. Douglas, Jones. Now Darby and Mills just coming back. I mean, what do you say to them? Oh, Darby's and Mills came back against Dallas. They had a bad game. But these guys had proven through Super Bowl win that these guys can do it. So they have a bad game. Nothing you can say to that. It's a bad game. They have to get better. But also, they didn't sack the quarterback. They didn't score points. They didn't keep the ball in that Dallas game. They just had a bad game, period. Bad two games. It happens to teams all the time. Especially teams that are battling injuries like the Eagles. Because if they had DeSean Jackson, it'd be a totally different. They say, oh, one player. Yes, one player. DeSean Jackson, nobody on Dallas can hold him. Some people can rough up Jeffries a little bit. Jeffries also, no matter how good he is, he's not a top off the. He's not making big long stride plays where Carson Wentz can throw that ball downfield. Something Jackson and Wentz have been practicing on for so long. So, in my opinion, you look at that and you have to really think about just how good the Eagles are. And they're good now. I mean, there's nothing that makes you think that there are guys on this team that have won the Super Bowl. So there's nothing that can make you think. Either Carson Wentz didn't win. What do you mean? Yes, he did. Because Nick Foles didn't play them season games. He wasn't the MVP of the season. He just came and finished the job. The crazy part is everybody talking stuff about Nick Foles. When Carson Wentz went down, everybody was like, the Eagles are finished. So now, since Nick Foles won, I don't want to hear that. It sounds retarded. It sounds crazy. Sounds crazy. It sounds completely crazy. I feel like the Eagles are a team that can win the Super Bowl if they think about winning this. All they got to do is pull their pants up, put their jock straps up, put your helmets on, and actually play football. You know, it's been some mistakes, chemistry mistakes. When Jackson is out and you've been practicing with this main target all this time, and all of a sudden he's out, that messes everything up because he was going to be the icing. Then you got two young running backs. You have to get used to them passing them the ball. They're young running, like, well, Miles Sanders is a young running back, and Howard is one too. Because if you look at it, Ajayi came in while Blunt was carrying a lot of the load. And Ajayi came in and played his game. It's the same thing. Jordan Howard is the LeGarrette Blount, and Miles Sanders is Ajayi. They have proved on games that they can make things happen. The receivers have to make it happen. When we got Alshon Jeffery that Super Bowl year, Alshon Jeffery was still a force. He was better than he was this year. Zach Ertz was better than he was this year. They both had their ups and downs. But who was there? Torrey Smith. Who stepped up? Nelson Aguilar. They both were healthy and playing. Now you need Jackson to help Aguilar. It's just not that type of. You don't have an extra guy. Arcega Whiteside. We could talk a little bit different if you could put Arcega Whiteside over there next to Alshon, and then let. It has to be an effective number two receiver for that slot guy to get out. That's how Aguilar gets off. So we need Jackson back. It's just what it is, and I think that's why Doug Peterson was more like, "Yo, okay." I'm going to wait until he's 100%. Right now, they're looking at boom. They're optimistic it's going to happen. And I don't see nobody on Chicago coming through to Jackson. He just changes the whole game. Miles Sanders has proven he can do receiving. He is going to be a star running back in this league. He's proven too many times what he can do. Jordan Howard, Jesus. I mean, how many good games he has to have to let you know this guy is in the house? Then Boston Scott might have opened up some eyes. He's a quick guy. He is. I think he's the next. I think after Sproles leave, it's him. Sproles will be back. That's going to be another scary situation. Peters is now out for the year. You let Dillard play, let him get his feet wet, let him do his thing. Boom. Guys are not out for the year. Who's out for the year? That's what you need to be scared of. If Philadelphia capitalizes on the next three games and goes 7-4, no matter who they playing, they go 7-4, then everybody should be scared. Everybody should be scared. Just remind you, if the Eagles go 7-4 or 8-5, watch yourself. 7-4, 8-5, watch yourself. If they don't do that, then it's like, oh, 7-4, listen, 7-4 is a Super Bowl, 8-5 is a conference championship. I have to weigh out. But 7-4, if they can go three games and convince you, boom. I talked to one guy in Philly out here on Broad Erie. He was like, yo, I was like, how you feel about Carson Wentz in the Buffalo game? He didn't impress me. Too many people were tripping. The man was 17-24. 17-24, baby. Like, Carson is not the only part. You can't weigh it on Carson. Like, seriously, the Cowboy game, yeah. I mean, a bad game happens. How can you look at a guy that's had so much success as an Eagle quarterback? I mean, you said he didn't win the Super Bowl. How else was they going to win it without the season? I don't get that. He came back the next year. People were dropping passes. You going to blame that on Carson? Carson had a good season. People were dropping passes all the time in the end zone. Alshon Jeffrey needs to step up more clutch. I risk my boy, but he really needs to step up. So this is a big game. I'm really anxious to see Avery and how he fits in, where they put him at. You still got TJ Edwards. You got KGH, Nathan Jerry. What are they going to do with Gunnar Avery? What's going to happen with Gunnar Avery? Does he step into the starting role? What happens? I know he rotates, but is he a starter? I doubt that. I think it's Nathan Jerry, KJH. And we'll see what happens. Could be Avery. Could be like, who do they do with that? What do they? I know when Bradham comes back, I think Jerry and KJH are the starters. I think that's just a given. But right now, who gets in there? Avery can give you a pass rusher, you know, disruptor, tackle. I really think that's what they need, a disruptor right there. That I could rush the passer, you know, a guy that can cover. I'm pretty sure that's what they're looking at, not just a pass rusher. So, you know, it's real big for this game against Buffalo, excuse me. Playing against Chicago is a good test. I mean, it's a good test. And one of the main reasons I'm saying these next three games is going to be crucial because you got Chicago here, New England next, then it's Seattle. So if you can scratch those three games in a row, we're talking back in Super Bowl contention. Miami's next, so that should be a given. There's no, I won't even take a loss there. I'm like, oh, only way after that loss, that guy went all of them. But I don't know. I'm skeptical if they lose to Miami, period. I won't even say Super Bowl contender. They just have to go get it. Then it's New York, Washington, and Dallas. Everything, listen, these next three games are your hardest games. I know division games are always, they're going to say they're hard. And I'm going to give more respect to that because no matter how these teams play the Redskins, they play them two times a year so they can get you upset. So watch out. And I think because you got four losses, they're going to try to win all these games. If they go 8-0, we know that Super Bowl. But 3-0 these next three games. And I'm just going to say, hey, Super Bowl contention. They're in the contention for it. If they win all 8 of these games, y'all might as well cancel Christmas. And I think they can make it happen. After those three games, you only got Miami, New York, Washington, and Dallas. Dallas is a tough game. New York's going to come tough. They got young guy. Washington wants to prove something before they go out and go to the top 10 of the draft. Okay? So the Eagles can actually go 12-4. And this one, shout out to my sister, Vera, you know. I mean, she said this is four losses. She said that. She said that. She said that. I got you. She got that. That's it. I think it. They can get that or 11-5. You know, if they lose one of these games, it's still looking good. You know, but I'm not going to say Super Bowl unless they win all 8 of these games. It's not going to be a certification to win all 8 of these games. You know what I'm saying? So, why do I think they can win the Super Bowl? Because you still got Carson Wentz. You still got Zach Ertz. You still got Alshon Jeffrey. You still got Nelson Aguilar. Deshaun Jackson. you know, a lot of pressure on Mac Hollins to beat him. Mac Hollins has had no impact on offense, like nothing. He's like been a ghost out there. He might as well have been an injury reserve. You know, and he's 6'4", and he has talent. But when he was the fourth receiver, he was a surprise. You didn't know about it. You're not going to put no fourth cornerback on Mac Hollins, 6'4", that can run a 4'5". He just ain't the second. He's more of a fourth receiver. I'm telling you, this is what he is right now. That's it. You ain't going to tell me nothing else. Arcega Whiteside, I think, would have been a beast. And they got two running backs, possibly three. Sproles coming back. I'm going to say Sproles. Sproles is coming back. You still got Boston Scott showing you all types of talent. If anybody in the league is really looking as a talented, as a coach, they're like, ooh, that guy kind of fast. You know, so, you know. Also, when you look at the offensive line, and I just think they've done a great job considering the injuries of Peters, you know. Like, all, and you got Dillard, he's coming in there showing his stuff. I think next year is his year to start. I think he's really getting a good. Everybody knew it, man. They knew Peters. Peters always getting hurt. He's just so big. I mean, to be big and athletic like that, you're going to get hurt. He's athletic to be his size. So, you know, you move around, it's going to be crazy. But listen, man. Trubisky versus Wentz. I think they're tough, but I think the Eagles are just a better team. Even right now, if they go without Jackson, Jeffrey has to play football. Aguilar has to play. I think I'm glad Aguilar got to get this pressure because it's going to make him more and more tougher now. He needs all the backlash, everything. The guy's too talented to be playing like this. At Ertz, I'm glad he's having a down because, you know, it was too, I mean, he was so dominant last year. Now it's time for you to have a, you know, up and down time and get, I think this is it. This is a start. I think it's 0-0 right now, even though it's 4-4, 0-0, second half. It's time to see a different Eagle team. They can go 7-1 or 8-0, and I'll be satisfied. It's clearly satisfied. The one game everybody probably guaranteed them to lose is New England. That's the one game on this 8, New England. I think they need to win that to even say anything to me because I won't even look at the 7-1 as impressive if they don't beat New England. They lose anybody else, I'm like, oh, whatever. But if they beat New England, because most of these, all these teams, all these eight teams, nobody's going to be there around, nobody's a contention or going to be there in February except for New England. Seattle's not going to be there. Seattle's always going to be tough. They're not going to be there. It's going to be New England. They beat Green Bay this year. That shows you something about these Eagles. They lost to Minnesota. The toughest teams on here is Chicago, Minnesota, Green Bay, and New England on their schedule. And Seattle just doesn't impress me like that. They have a good coach, good culture. I don't think that's big to me. But this whole time, I just always thought Chicago. And I'll give Seattle that bump on there. But Chicago was something else last year. And they got some people back except for Jordan Howard. I think it's Chicago, Minnesota, New England. And Green Bay, that was my toughest team. And you want to go with Dallas? We can go with Dallas. I just don't look at, but you got to put Dallas on there, okay? Dallas has a talented team. You got to stop BSing. They have a talented team. So that's the five teams. Philly got to beat. Like I say Dallas because this is their division. And Philly has just a talented team with them. But you look at guys like Green Bay and New England, they don't play them two times a year. That's the big fact, though. That makes me put them over Dallas even more. You know, I know I say they're a better team, but Dallas can also beat them like we know. But they played them twice a year. To be a team that's won a Super Bowl, play the same team twice a year, you play this quarterback and this running back when you won the Super Bowl. They annihilated them. So it's their time. All right, it's my first segment. Talk about the Phillies and the Eagles. I wanted to get back more to the Eagles, man. The Phillies, just know that the Phillies are going to be there. It's nothing to be optimistic about. They didn't have a terrible season. You know, you expected more with the Bryce Harper hype. I mean, look at this season. Look at guys who played good, like Haseley and Kingery. Look at what Realmuto did. Segura was playing good first in the season. He's done that his whole career. You think he can't come back and do it again this year? I mean, come on. It's going to be a Herrera still there. It's going to be a lot of guys coming into spring training. This team's going to be very talented. The pitching y'all talk about, it's some talented guys on this team. You need the right coaching, period. That's just it. You're talking about what guys ain't good. These guys are young, effing young. Nola, still young. I There ain't too many vets on this pitching staff except for Arrieta. So we have to be a little bit more conscious of what we say about that. So I'm out of here, y'all. Listen, just put that into. We got guys coming. It's still a cool little farm system. We got Alec Baum could be coming up sooner, like next year. Alec Baum, Mickey Moniak. Look at these two guys. They could have their. They could be. The bench is what we got. Listen, mark my words. Philly's bench is going to be unbelievable because I see Baum and Moniak coming up. Why keep them down there? Moniak was a number one overall pick. All right? Hazy was number eight. Baum, top 10 pick. Put them guys out there. Adonis Medina, bring them up. It's time. What for what? What are you waiting for? I don't care what he's doing down there. When you see his progress sharpen, because there are good players in the minor leagues. It don't mean this guy ain't ready for the big leagues. He don't need to dominate. They got a lot of guys down there in the minor leagues that are ready to meet some pitchers. You know, bring them up. It's just time, man. If they're going to be starters or bullpen, we need arms. It's just time. Time to start putting a little bit more aggression on bringing people up. Franco has not been traded. You put Baum next to Franco. You put Moniak as a backup out there in the outfield. Let him play. Like, we need the deepest teams we're going to get. They need that. And Bryce Harper had a good season. If I was anybody in the National League, I'd be scared because he could only get better. This was a great season. He just didn't have a 300 average. But he had a good season. Anybody would want an outfielder that did what he did last year. Anybody would trade for that. So, listen, I'm out of here. Follow the lead. It's my first segment of Philly Sports Cast. We're going to get to more. My next segment, I'll talk about the Sixers. And more into how I feel about Penn State and Villanova. You know, a little bit. You know, Villanova has his own radio. I knock off that. But Penn State, we're going to go to Penn State. And we're going to go to the Sixers. It's a big thing. I really feel like we'll talk more basketball, Penn State. We'll just get into that. So, yo, I'm out, y'all. Tune in to the second segment. Out, y'all. Peace. Welcome back. The second segment, my people, of the Follow the Leader Sports Podcast. Can we please know this is my favorite segment right now? Oh, man. Penn State ain't no. Philly 4-0. This is the undefeated version. The undefeated version. You know what I mean? Pennsylvania is always hot with sports. Let's get into it. Now, I was going to get some Villanova, but no. Villanova has his own radio. I can't do it. Now, we go into the Penn State. I want to get more into Penn State right now because it's just so big right now with Penn State. This is the real clutch part of the season, though. It is, man. Like, you got Minnesota next, right? Realistically, we've all always, even the fans, not just me, even the fans knew this was going to happen with this team. Or they knew it could happen. We all knew it could. I predicted it will. But if it also, when the season started, I was optimistic because I'm like, this is a young team. Things can happen. They could fall off. They can make mistakes because they're young. This team, that recruiting class they got, when they brought in Micah Parsons, when they brought in Sean Clifford, on one class, when they brought in Matos Gross on one class. Like, it all started, and now it's coming together. The same thing with Villanova. You know, it's like when you get those good classes in football, it's big. But the Penn State has done it. Sean Clifford, everybody, I think, dang, it's crazy. Everybody looking at Justin Fields, looking at Trevor Lawrence, you look at Bo Nix, looking at Joe, you look at all these guys that can play, right? But at the same time, nobody ever talked about Sean Clifford, who was right there with the top quarterbacks in the class. And now look at him. Nobody's really talking about him like they should. It's an 8-0, fifth in the nation team. You're going against Minnesota. I think it's not a chance for him. You know why? Because of the defense. That's the big thing. But see, the offense is good, but the offense hasn't really had to pull no rabbits out the hat. You don't have to see Shorter show out. And nobody's talking about, like, Shorter hasn't really did what he, you know, Justin Shorter was the number one receiver. And he was like a top five player in the whole country. He hasn't even broke out yet. But KJ, not a lot of that is because, you know, and people are not, they're going to disagree, whatever. Clifford and Hamler have had a chemistry since high school with each other. You know, they've always wanted to play. When that comes to the football field, all else is out the door. Like, he's not going to give Dotson and Shorter as many chances as he gets Clifford, as he gets Hamler. It's just not going to happen. You mean to tell me that Hamler, just looking at some of the passes that Hamler has caught and done, that Dotson couldn't do the same thing? You mean looking at all that Shorter couldn't do the same thing? No, it's just a chemistry thing. That's all it is. And when you see Dotson make a play, and when you see Shorter make a play, you forget just how good those guys are. Listen, to be real, when the season first started, we didn't see Pat Free like that. It was all KJ Hamler. And still, last year, you look at last year's team when they had Trace McSorley, who was catching the ball most? Pat Free. It wasn't KJ Hamler. Pat Free was really that guy. You know, and everybody was getting the ball spread around, you know, from Tompkins. You know, so to Brandon, my guy Brandon Polk. They was all getting the ball. Now, if you look at this offense, you know, they spread it around, but not like that at all. You're only seeing the receiver is Hamler, and then you see Freeman. Then you see, you know, the running backs eating it up. I think that's another thing that kind of takes away from that. The running backs are eating things up. So it's like, you look, you got Kane, you got Ford, you got Brown. You know, Slade is not doing what he's doing. But it's because if you look at it, they're making good big plays and they're scoring touchdowns. And the defense is taking away the effect of them having to use their offense to come back. The defense is so good. They're so good. Like, to be real, you're only going to see Hamler and Freeman up there much. But don't forget about Dotson and Shorter. They'll get you. You don't forget about Cameron Sullivan Brown and Mac Hippenhammer. They haven't even had to pull no rabbits out the hat with this offense. They haven't really been challenged. That defense hasn't been challenged like that. It hasn't. They've had games like against Iowa. They've had games when the season first started. You know, it got kind of listen, Penn State has pulled out tough games that we aren't even talking about right now. You know, so beating Michigan State like they did just really put the icing on the cake on what Ohio State is headed for. Ohio State's number 3 in the nation. Penn State's number 5. To see Clifford against Fields is going to be classic. Fields was the commit of Penn State. Decommitted. Went down south to Georgia. Didn't turn out well. Went to Ohio State. Boom. Here we go. He's in Ohio State? Oh, my gosh. It's just such a rivalry right now. And this will be a big game. There's a lot of NFL talent on the floor. But right now it's Minnesota, who's number 13, close to top 10. They have to cut them off. There's a big chance Penn State could head to the top 3. If they blow out Minnesota, whoa. You play always tough Indiana. They're 6-2 right now. Let's see what happens. That's going to be another tough game. That's why these games are so critical. Because Penn State is not like beating teams that are nobodies. They're going in there convincingly, pulling out tough game. If the offense is not winning, their defense is winning. Creating turnovers. And let's talk more about their defense. Their defense is something nice. This is nice. Micah Parsons, Lamont Wade. I think when that happened, I knew this defense was going to change. You got the two number one players in their class from Pennsylvania. Two coveted players during those recruiting periods. The Penn State wanted Wade. They wanted Parsons. It was a battle to the end, and they got them both, and they're both on the field being game changers. Gross Matos, Shaka Tony. He was with, you know, Temple was after him. Boom, they got him. Antonio Shelton and Windsor have become better than people advertise. They don't get enough credit. Shout out to both of them. Dogs out there. Daniel Joseph. Jason Owe. And they don't even have to come in. The crazy part is they don't have to play consistent every game. You just forget about guys like that, Jason Owe. And he comes and gets a sack or a fumble. He's going to be a star. Ellis Brooks. Jesse Luketta. Jan Johnson. Cam Brown. Like, what can you say? Brandon Smith. He's like, oh, he's not in there that much. You trying to say that? Brandon Smith makes plays. Marcus Wilson makes plays. Jaquan Brisker makes plays. These guys, when they come in there, they make plays. Majority of the time, you look at their time, 8 times out of 10 when they're on the field, they're going to be an impact. They're going to make you the shift and not throw his way, watch where you throw, or they're going to tackle you, or they're going to intercept you, one or the other. Something's going to happen. Keaton Ellis, Donovan Johnson, Tariq Cashfield, Jonathan Sutherland. Jesus, they got players everywhere. Garrett Taylor, everywhere. On that defense is almost an all. It's like going Madden and making your own all-star team. Like, seriously, let's go back to when they recruited, where they were, what type of players they were thought of. All these guys are contributing. This is a looking at the, you might look at the offense and say, oh, no, this defense is all-star studded. Like, it's going to be some NFL players, and it's going to be a lot of these guys. Majority of these guys are going to get drafted, and then the rest of them, and I think a more majority is going to be on an NFL team like Grant Haley is right now, contributing for New York. Listen, you have to really look at this team and look another way. Now, the major thing on offense, I think, the offensive line is spectacular. With Shea Walker and C.J. Thorpe being recruited, Monae being recruited, Gonzo being recruited, they all were right. Then you're looking at big guys like Thorpe and Walker changed this offensive line. They changed it. This offensive line is one of the top five in the nation, period. Nobody talks big about that. You got Noah Kane. You got Devin Ford. Whenever you call on these guys, they're going to contribute. If you want one, like it is, I think Slay, I don't know really what happened. Everybody talking about, oh, he gets the ball. Listen, he don't get the ball 20 times a game. And I'm pretty sure his peoples is like, oh, you forgot. He don't get the ball. They don't have the confidence in Slay like that. And it's crazy because I don't see where he got the ball enough times in as many games when you called him the starter that he's being judged. It's just that how running back looks, and they're going with it. Like they're basically going with roulette. And Kane had enough impact to be like, okay, well, he's going to get enough more carries now. It's crazy because I just feel like that's a little, you know, but that's just me talking. I mean, you know, that Franklin and them are doing a great job. But, man, Slade, the Slade era, what happened? You should give Shorter and Slade more opportunities. Don't sit up there and say, oh, they've had enough opportunities where they're up blowing people out or where they're not down in games to make plays to those guys to get them in there. Dotson, all of them. Dotson, Slade, and Shorter, I just feel like they're just tooking out the whole loop. Slade, that's why I think transfer could be happening, baby. Transfer could be happening. Y'all say what y'all want. The transfer portal is going to be open. I think Slade going to be one of them hot names out there. I hope Justin Shorter stays. I really do. But you got to just look at this, man. Like, these are guys that you need to get the ball to. Slade can catch the ball from passing to running. He had an impact last year. You know why? Because they gave him the ball enough. Through the little times they gave him the ball, they at least gave him the ball enough. There's times when Slade don't even get the ball. Like, he was more of a focal point last year than he is this year. And he was the second running back. I just think it's real, real different the way they're running this thing. And I think they put more trust in Kane and Brown than they have Slade. I just think, you know, but on the good side, they just got so much talent on this team. And Ohio State going to have to watch out. Which brings you to the recruiting class of them getting Kevontae Lee and getting Kaylee and getting Keziah Holmes. I think you're looking at Jalen Berger, who's another guy that could be in Penn State. They want to keep on keeping the running backs full. You still got C.J. Holmes, who I think could come in next. I mean, listen. They're stacked now. They can just go, and if somebody gets hurt, they can bring somebody in. Real talk. Like, I think if Hamler got hurt, it wouldn't hurt their team. I think it would be Justin Shorter and Dotson time, and you bring in Hip and Hammer or Cameron Sullivan Brown. You still got John Dunmore who can come in. You got Keandre Lambert who committed. I mean, they really have some players. Brenton Strange, I mean, they still got Zach Kuntz. I mean, it's crazy. This team is stacked, and they're going to be a team that's going to be a force to be now certified. They'll be a force to be reckoned with. But wait till the next year's rankings come in. Penn State will be top five. Because you look at this team, you're like, what are they losing? What are they losing? So we go to Penn State doing what they do and being the type of team they are. I just think it's going to be interesting now to see who develops. Theo Johnson, still on the books to be, I think he's a lock. Mark Britt, let's see if he ends up committing. Penn State get another receiver. I think it's real, from where they had success as receivers, I think it's real important that they keep stacking their receivers. And I think with Hamler, it seemed like that's the only guy you look at now. Before, when McSorley was there, you saw a lot of guys produce, and Tompkins and Godwin and Hamilton. It was always a multiple case of receivers that produced. It doesn't look like that now. Maybe I'm, you know, but I just don't see where it was before. But like I said, once again, Penn State makes a lot of big plays, and they score quick. Hamler will be in the NFL. There's no question about it. Do I see him as a first-round receiver? Not yet. I think he's second-round, no question. He's just too explosive. DeSean Jackson is the name that comes to mind when you think of K.J. Hamler. No question. I think he's borderline first-round, but not yet. Pat Freeman, I think he's second-round, but could be a first-round. We'll see. But right now, I say second-round. I mean, you just got to give people a little bit more to climb on. That he was an impact his first year. He's doing the same thing this year. There's no question by next year. We'll see what happens as the year goes on. But Pat Freeman, probably him and Yota Gross Matos are probably the best. Him, it's Parsons, it's Freeman, and I think Rasheed Walker. I think we're not looking at him. Him and Thorpe are really, really, listen, and Manet. I mean, we'll talk about that. But right now, Parsons, Matos, Tony, John Reed, those are the best. You're looking at guys like that right now. Clifford's looking like one. But right now, the immediate guys, if I say if a draft started now, they're between first and second round. That's Micah Parsons. That's K.J. Hamler. That's Pratt Freeman. That's Matos Gross. And that's it. Right now, if I had to make a clear cut, I think those guys are it. And I think there's a lot of other guys that are close, but no. Who's going to get to the second round? Castro Fields is a guy that could work. I think he's number fourth round right now. I think John Reed, both of them are fourth round picks. I think if you look at Lamont Wade, I think he's a fourth round pick. I think a lot of these guys are fourth, fifth round picks at the most right now. Looking at Windsor, and I think they're fourth round, fifth round guys. Windsor and Shelton, they could be fourth, fifth round guys. I think those type of talents they could be. You know, look at Shelton. I think Shelton's more of a sixth or seventh round. Look at Shelton. I think Windsor could also be between fifth and seventh round. It's just big. Now, let's talk about, we sit here, we talk about Penn State. Talk about what they offer. We talk about the recruiting classes. It could end out real good, too. I just think that, and they're heading toward the 2021 class, and they're making, you know, strides. But let's talk about the basketball team. Lamar Stevens is going to have a phenomenal year. I think he's more mature mentally. You know, he's made his mistakes. I think he'll be a hard guy to stop. And he has more help. Mike Watkins has to be that man. And he had a pretty good game with the exhibition. He has to be that man, though. He has to be that man. And I think it's clearly on that one. Getting recruits, getting Valdir Emanuel was huge. Huge. Then you get DJ Gordon. Whoa. Huge, huge commits. These guys are going to come. I mean, when you lose Rasir Bolton, I think getting Emanuel and getting Gordon really does something. And then you got Dalian, they're number 31 by 247 in the nation. You got a top 30 recruiting class. Dalian Johnson and Khalib Dorsey, though, these are good players to have. Like, seriously. This is a very impressive. I mean, you're looking at when they got Stevens and you know, you get Stevens and you get Stevens and Tony, them two guys, the great duo. Stevens, Tony Carr, and Azir Bostic from the Roman Catholic. That was a good recruiting class. Not only that, the guy that didn't Joe Hampton, he didn't even recruit. It was another good recruit. I mean, it was a good class. I don't think it's as good as that class, but they're close. I think Manuel really gives them. He's the number one JUCO center, the seventh best JUCO player in the nation. I mean, that was a heck of a recruit to get. I just think it's big. And then you got guys like Wheeler on this team. Miles Dredd is a guy we have to pay attention to. The type of year he could have with Stevens, they could be the best, one of the best duos in the Big Ten. They could be one of the top duos in the Big Ten. Trent Buchik, Patrick Kelly, John Harrar, all are good players. Harrar is a good inside guy. Buchik and Kelly can both hit. If they use them, then you got Kyle Maglowski. All these guys are good athletes and can play. All right. Marion Jones. Isaiah Brockington. These are what make Patrick Kelly and Maglowski, because what they can't do, those guys make up for. But they're all athletes. What I'm saying is that Maglowski and Kelly and Harrar, they're not going to just dominate, but they're definitely going to impact and they're going to contribute. Marion Jones and Brockington are going to, you know, they're going to do their thing. They're going to impact. It's a deep team. It's a deep team. I like the depth that comes with this team. Now, going further, we want to get to the Sixers. Let's do it, y'all. Let's do it. Let's do it. And to the Penn State fans, what do I think this team will finish? I think they can be. If Curtis Jones Jr. gets the okay that he's eligible, this could be they could be a tournament team without him. But I think they're certified to be in contention for sure. You don't know what they're going to contend and what they're going to do without him. But Curtis Jones Jr. definitely gives you that. He definitely gives you, I mean, this team looks interesting. Interesting. Experience. And Seth Lundy being on this team with T. Sambala, you know, really is something big. People don't look at that. T. Sambala gives them size. With Manny on T. Sambala for the future, that gives them a lot. Seth Lundy is going to be a dog all year. I think with him, with Stevens, I mean, this gives them a dog, two Roman cats. Like, this is going to be something. They'll be a surprise team, I think. I really think they do. But the backcourt, I think the front court is more loaded than the backcourt. We'll see what happens. Miles Dredd, Seth Lundy, and Lamar Stevens on the same team. Who would ever thought? You'll see these guys, Marion Jones, on the same team. It's going to be something to see. It's interesting. Interesting talent. Villanova, Penn State, look, they talk stuff about Patrick Chambers, but this man always seems to amaze me on how he gets teams assembled. You know, it hurt him with Rossier Bolton, because this team would have been nice for Rossier Bolton. Now you bring another guy. You bring Curtis Jones Jr. It's just going to be something to see. Now back to the Sixers, the brawl. Embiid is something special, man. He's throwback, like the 90s. I don't know who started, who was the aggressor, but I know who was throwing them things, and that was Embiid. He's throwing them things, baby. They were trying to stop them hands from punching them, but Embiid had to slam somebody. Put one boy on the ground. Yeah, I don't know who grabbed him, but... But after him and Cat, was somebody tried to scramble up on Embiid. He ended up grabbing that boy, and, you know. I think once Karl-Anthony Towns saw what Embiid was doing to his partner, he backed up. Oh, I think this is too much. You know, but anyway, it was unfortunate it happened. But Philly won 117-95 over Minnesota. And 4-0, man. They're here. I think they're so aggressive. They're starting out the season ready. He had 19 points in 20 minutes. 19 points, 5 rebounds in 20 minutes. I don't think they want it anymore, Embiid. You know, 16.7 assists for Ben Simmons. But what you got to look at is that Tobias Harris, Al Horford, and Josh Richardson, that three really labels it out. And then you look at the bench. Matisse Thybulle, once again, 4 steals, 2 blocks. I mean, he had 9 points. He had 3. Like, he has a complete game. You have to watch out for Thybulle. I mean, they might have got the steal of the – I'm looking. There are steals in the draft. Cameron Reddish, look at Keldon Johnson, Bobo, who I think could be the greatest steal of the draft. But as of right now, he was a lottery pick. I think he could have started and averaged 13 points a game and 6 rebounds and got you 3 steals and 2 blocks. I just really think that Thybulle could have been a lottery pick. I think I was wrong on Thybulle. I didn't think he was that type. But if you look at what he does on the offensive end when he's allowed to shoot, he's athletic. And then you look at his defense is so elite. Like, you draft the guy in the lottery with that type of defense that gives you decent offense and great defense. Because decent offense can turn to great offense because he can really shoot. He can shoot that three. He's underrated. He can go above the rim. He has great bounce. He's quick and he's fast. I mean, this is a guy that I think Brown's licking his chops at like, wow. Like, seriously. You got James in his way, 8-11 that game. You know, Mike Scott wasn't great that game, but you know the defense comes up. Shut him down to below 100 points and you get over 110. You're sending messages in these games. You know, they had a tough game against Atlanta, came back, won. You can show people when we choose to shut you down, we can shut you down. Because they was down by 12 points and Atlanta came back, boom, won. They're showing they can win tough games. I just think Philly is ready. Seriously, man. People are saying that. Some people say Cat was the aggressor. Skip Bayless comes out of his mouth say you think MB was the aggressor. Whatever. Clearly whatever, man. Clearly whatever. We'll see what happens. Well, really, no matter who's the aggressor, you know, we won the game. We can have Al Horford. Al Horford came right in there, didn't miss a beat. The next 48 minutes of the game, they didn't miss a beat. You got Horford and Quinn in the game, Kylo Quinn. And you forget that MB's not no longer that guy because Tobias Harris, after MB leaves, is the guy. He's used to carrying a squad on his back. And then you got Josh Richardson with Tobias Harris. I mean, it just makes it. Then Al, like, that team is good. This Sixer team is something different. Like, it's something, and they haven't even begun. I don't care what, really, to be real about any team, I don't care how good you are on paper when you come into the league, you're always better as the season progresses because you get to gel more. I don't care if you played together last year. You're always better as the season progresses from when you did when you first started the season. So this team is new on the whole NBA. So they're even more scary. My thing is, who is your NBA Finals? The Clippers, because they got Kawhi Leonard because of what he did with Toronto. What's being underrated is how much that team played together before Kawhi came. And then you add Kawhi, and it's just a cherry. DeRozan just can't play like Kawhi. That's the difference. But this team is always, he had a team that always played together, and they added pieces. So you're not going to, it's the same thing with the Clippers. You add George and Kawhi, who is dangerous? So I could see people saying that, oh, they're going to win the NBA Finals because of what Kawhi did with Toronto. I got my hands up. I'm going to roll with people on that, but I don't think they're going to beat this Sixer team because this Sixer team came into the only difference of the Sixer team that changed is minus Jimmy and adding Josh. Everybody else, they played together except for adding Tybalt, Neto, and Burke. Everybody else has been together. This team, who? Kylo Quinn, they're new. They're the new guy, but they're all bench guys. And they're all impacting. Tybalt's impacting. Neto comes in. He don't even have to do too much. And he's a pesky. He's like a taller, you know, he's like TJ McConnell. I see that in him. Maybe he's a taller, better defensive TJ McConnell. Stronger TJ McConnell. Once again, you got Tybalt, O'Quinn, all those guys who came in are impacting now. Just wait till the season keeps going. I see the Philadelphia 76ers being the champions this year. It's just too much talent. It's more talent. Look at the Clippers and what they did with the guys they had last year. Well, they didn't do as much. They took the Warriors. The Warriors was mentally not there. They're not the same Warrior team that they were the year before. As you can see, they lost. But you look at Durant and Thompson being out of there, and I just think, hey, that cancels Christmas. Everybody talking about, oh, God, this and that. I don't want to hear nothing. Well, I do want to. That is why they lost. If you can't put at least Klay Thompson or Durant on the floor, there's nothing you can really say about that. They were injured. That's why they lost the finals. Say what you want. Everybody talking about, oh, Leonard took them. Leonard played against a team that didn't have Klay Thompson, DeMarcus Cousins, or Kevin Durant. Cousins, we all know, wasn't going to impact like he used to. He just wasn't there. He was coming in there playing hurt, and it is what it is. You needed Thompson or Kevin Durant. If you don't have the Splash Brothers or Kevin Durant on there with Curry and Draymond, it's not the same dynamic of a team. So don't come up here and talk about, oh, well, no, they didn't have who they needed to win. They didn't have who they needed to win. They didn't have who they needed to win, period. Lots of hats off to Toronto and all of them. If Philadelphia was to score one basket, we wouldn't even be talking about this. It'd be the Philadelphia champions. So really, the champions are the Sixers right now. I'm talking about this year. That's why I'm going with that. So listen, man. It's a lot of big things going on. Next four games, they play Portland, Phoenix, Utah, and Denver. How tough can you get? Portland. Phoenix is a young team that's always going to show something, you know. I think they're about 2 years away from really competing if they keep this nucleus. I think they got a lot of good talent, but they should be blew out. Utah and Denver is always tough, especially Denver. So this is going to show something early in the season what Philly's about. Will they still be undefeated? We'll see. They can lose any four of those games. They had a tough game against Atlanta, but we'll see where they're at. We'll see. That's the thing. Philly isn't even at the best of their capabilities. If you look at last year, really Tobias is just playing with this team. So he really hasn't had a whole 82, a whole season with this team. To say how good he's going to get is scary. How good is he going to get? Josh Richardson, I just can't wait. Like, every game they play, from loss to wins to losses, I'm going to be looking and seeing this and that. So, you know, they got Portland on Saturday. We'll see how that goes. So, I'm out, y'all. Listen, this is the second segment. Follow the Sports Podcast, man. I'm out going in. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram. Follow me on Facebook. Leader Johnson, just look me up. I'm here, man. Let's go. All right? We out. Follow the leader.